this spring, the state's top court invalidated congressional and state Senate boundaries crafted by the Democratic majorities in the state legislature. In the wake of this decision, the newly drawn assembly lines were also challenged. For an update on the case against the maps for the People's House, we're checking in with Jeff Weiss, a senior fellow and adjunct professor with the New York Law School's Census and Redistricting Institute, and who was previously, in another life, the redistricting counsel to the state Democratic legislative leaders. Welcome back to the Capitol Press Room, Jeff.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. Great to be back.
Well, what was the complaint brought by the plaintiffs in the case challenging the assembly lines, and how did it compare to the arguments the court okayed for striking down the congressional and state Senate lines drawn by the legislature?
Well, what happened was that back in the spring, the state courts invalidated the congressional and state Senate maps because they did not follow the constitutional procedure that required the Independent Redistricting Commission to submit a series of maps to the legislature for approval. Instead, the legislature took it upon itself to draw maps on its own. And as a result of that, the Senate and congressional plans were challenged, but not the assembly plan. So subsequently, the state courts appointed a special master to redraw just the Senate and the congressional lines. And because of the delay in that line drawing, we're not going to have a primary for the congressional and Senate lines until August. But the assembly lines weren't challenged. And because they weren't before the court, even though the entire process was found to be unconstitutional, the court did not address the assembly. It didn't have a case before it originally and left the primary for the assembly, governor, lieutenant governor, and other local races for June 28th.
Why weren't the assembly lines challenged? Was it simply because the legislature did a great nonpartisan job of drawing the lines, or does it have more to do with the fact that no one really cares about who controls the assembly, and it's really not that competitive in terms of control of the chamber?
Well, the assembly lines were passed with bipartisan support. A large number of Republican members of the assembly supported the map for the assembly lines, and there just wasn't that much controversy. And the assembly plan, could be regarded as a least change plan that made the smallest differences to accommodate population shifts across the state, whereas the congressional and Senate plans were seen as much different departures from the existing the pre-existing plans, and not fair, as the assembly lines pretty much didn't pair incumbents, didn't drastically move communities around, as argued the other two plans did.
And it's safe to assume the reason why the Senate lines and congressional lines were so drastically different from what we saw 10 years ago was because of who was actually controlling the pen, right? I mean, we have a Democratic majority in the Senate now, something that we didn't have 10 years ago when Republicans led the chamber, and the congressional boundaries 10 years ago were drawn by a judge, right? So who's controlling the map process really makes a difference, right?
Right, but keep in mind also that while the Senate and congressional plans were knocked out on procedural grounds, the state Senate lines themselves were not found to violate any of the state constitutional criteria. The congressional plan was found to have violated a perceived ban on partisan gerrymandering, whereas the Senate plan was found not to be in violation of anything except that the fact that the legislature had no role in passing the plan in the first place.
So in bringing a challenge, then, the people who had concerns about the assembly lines, basically all they had to do was reiterate that concern about the process that had already been faulted by the top court with regards to the Senate line. They didn't have to make even that case about partisan gerrymandering.
Right. They basically argued that regardless of the merits of the assembly map, it was an invalid enactment, that the legislature could not enact that plan, couldn't vote on it, and for that reason alone, asked the courts to invalidate the map and have a new map redrawn for this year's election, and that's what the courts recently rejected.
In the case of the challenge to the Senate and congressional lines, the Republican plaintiffs went shopping for a more conservative-leaning judge, which brought them to upstate New York. What about this case against the assembly lines? Was there a similar instance of shopping for a sympathetic judge? Or based on what happened from the state's top court, was that not really a concern here and they knew they could just eventually get to the top court and get a similar ruling?
That's a great question, because the Republican challengers who sought to knock out the congressional and Senate lines purposefully went to a red-leaning county in the southern tier in Steuben County, getting a judge with a Republican conservative background. But the challenge to the assembly lines were not, you know, filed by Republican plaintiffs. They were filed by former candidates or just good government-oriented, in their own view, voters. And they filed the attack on the assembly lines in New York County, Manhattan State Court. So I wouldn't really call it forum shopping there, except to expect that most of the judges in New York City have Democratic backgrounds. And what the plaintiffs ended up with was having this case referred to Judge Lawrence Love, who himself spent many years working for the state assembly for a member from Queens.
Let me reintroduce you right now for listeners of the Capitol Press Room who are just joining us. We're speaking with Jeff Weiss, a senior fellow and adjunct professor with the New York Law School's Census and Redistricting Institute. And we're talking about the legal challenge that was brought to the recently crafted assembly lines. So eventually this challenge has made its way to the state's top court. And what is the ramification of the judiciary considering the constitutionality of these assembly lines?
Well, right now, the assembly primary will move forward with the plan that the legislature enacted in February for this month's primary on June 28th. But what the courts did was to remand the case or send it back down to Judge Love in New York County to address the assembly lines for the 2024 elections. And this gives the judge several options. He could appoint a special master to draw a map. He could actually approve the assembly-enacted map and make it a court-ordered map. Or he can look into the question, a good open question, whether the independent commission can be reconstituted to develop a plan which the legislature would then vote on. So there are several options that the judge has to consider. And since the higher courts don't require further action on the assembly until the 2024 elections, it's unclear when Judge Love is going to call a status conference or a hearing just to get the parties together and discuss next steps. It could be rather soon. It could be sometime in the future.
Well, there's a lot of fun possibilities to unpack there. First off, why 2024 to have new lines? Why not require the new lines to be drawn basically immediately and have special elections in 2023?
Well, that's going to be an argument that the plaintiffs are likely going to make and keep reiterating, that we can't, in their words, spend one more day, one more month with assembly district lines that have been found unconstitutional because they were improperly enacted. So they're going to make that argument. That's going to be something that Judge Love is going to probably consider.
And we saw that in practice, though, like 60 years ago when they had to redraw the lines in the middle of the 60s, right? Didn't they end up having an off-year special election?
There was an off-year election. What happened in the 60s was that, the U.S. Supreme Court didn't even hear these kinds of cases until 1962. And then once the Supreme Court ruled that equal population or one person, one vote applied to every legislative body in the country, every state had to redraw their lines. I mean, New York used to allocate one assembly district to each county so that your very rural counties would have more representation than some of your urban counties. And what the assembly ended up having was an increase from the 150 members authorized in the Constitution to about 200 members. And the court said, 150 is 150. You cannot increase the number of districts. And that was a pretty drastic jump. So they had to undo the increase back down to the 150 required in the Constitution since 1894 and where it is today. That was a pretty drastic misstep that the state made back in the mid-1960s, but it did cause about 3 years of straight elections because of the need to draw lines and also the need to understand what the courts were trying to accomplish with one person, one vote. And often the courts didn't always know themselves what to do. So there were a lot of growing pains in the mid-1960s.
Based on what we saw in Steuben County, which was the court appointing a special master to draw Senate lines and congressional lines, is there a reason to think that the judge in this assembly case, the lower level, will be likely to follow that example? Or because there is so much more time, is there a reason to think that they will reconvene the bipartisan redistricting commission? Or because that was such a disaster, will they simply say, try it again, legislature, but like do your best?
That's a real tough question because the judge has not scheduled a hearing to hear from the parties, and the options are before him to approve the current map and make it a court-ordered plan, or to appoint a special master, or to try to reconvene the commission if that's even possible. So these are all issues that that will be before Judge Love, and we'll have to wait and see what he decides to do. And of course, any decision he makes can be appealed all the way back up through the appellate division, through the intermediate court, and then up to the Court of Appeals one more time.
But if you were a betting man or you were setting odds, what do you think is the most likely course of action that a judge might take?
One thing I've learned as an attorney and practitioner over the years is that you never guess the tea leaves in this business because for 50 years, the New York courts never overturned any plans drawn by the legislature. Lo and behold, now in 2022, they've done just that. So, all bets are off.
Well, we've been speaking with Jeff Weiss, senior fellow and adjunct professor with the New York Law School's Census and Redistricting Institute. Jeff, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate
pleasure.
It.
We'll revisit this, I'm sure, in the future.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.